Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the day, Celtic get their hands on the league trophy for the 8th season in a row. Rangers are going for 7 wins in a row as they head to Kilmarnock. And will that be Stevie Clark's last game in charge as he looks to seal 3rd place ahead of Aberdeen? I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me in the studio, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
The presentation of the trophy, marking Celtic's 8th league title in a row, is for the present. Neil Lennon has chosen a side that gives a glimpse of the future. And we also have to look back at yesterday and say well done to Brian Rice, the man who took over from Martin Canning as Hamilton Accies manager and has kept the side in the Premiership. They have an instinct for survival second to none.
Final day of the league season. Can you believe it is here already? Let's go around the grounds and get some team news. It is trophy day at Celtic Park. They take on Hearts, and that's been watched by Alison Conroy and Jim Duffy.
Yeah, and big changes for both sides this afternoon as both Neil Lennon and Craig Levine keep one eye on next Saturday's Scottish Cup final at Hampden. 7 changes for Celtic from that defeat at Rangers a week ago. Rogic, Hayes, Simonovic, Brown, McGregor, Edward and Lustig all find themselves out of the starting 11. For Hearts, it's 9 changes from that defeat to Aberdeen last weekend. So for Celtic, will be Scott Bain in goal, a back four of Anthony Ralston, Philip Benkovic, Christopher Ayer and Jeremy Tolyan. Then it would near Beaton and Olivier Cham, with the 3 of Mikey Johnson, Ewan Henderson and Scott Sinclair. Oliver Burke as the lone striker. On the bench for Celtic today, we have De Vries, Simonovic, McGregor, Church, Okoflex, Welsh and Dembele. For Hearts, the Denix Lamal in goal, a back four of Michael Smith, John Souter, Joe Shaughnessy and Aaron Hickey. In the midfield, Connor Smith, Andrew Irving, Ollie Lee. Then up top, Sean Clear, Craig Whiten and Jake Mulroney. On the bench for Hearts this afternoon, Doyle, Bozanic, Hughes, Edwards, Brandon, Dikamona and Petkov. Jim Duffy, we expected a lot of changes for both sides. I'm not sure we expected quite as many as this.
Yes, it's one of those games where it gives the opportunity, each manager gets the opportunity to put some young players in, either on the starting 11 or on the bench. Obviously, the title's already wrapped up. They're both looking to the cup final next week. So I don't think it's any surprise, Alison, that there has been a number of changes. But, it depends how it affects the game. It all depends on which young boys take up that responsibility and challenge it. And looking at it from the teams, I think Celtic have still got better quality from the more experienced players and the young players, because most of those guys, like Ralston, Mikey Johnson, Henderson, they've got first team experience there anyway, and they'll always want to put on a show. I think that every chance these young players get, because they don't get too many to show their quality, then they will try and do that. I don't think it'll get them a place in the cup final team. I don't think it's one of those ones, but it does maybe say, whether it's Neil Lennon's in charge or whoever manager's in charge, listen, I can be a part of this first team squad for next year. So every chance they get, they can't waste it. And I expect Celtic to win today, even though I don't think it'll be a thriller.
It's probably the bench that's the most interesting for Celtic today. We expected Dembele, Kanamoko, to be on that bench. Armstrong, Okoflex was another one that had been mentioned, but it's a big day as well. Daniel Church and Stephen Welsh.
Yeah, I mean, all those young players, I said, and you would love to see them getting on. I'm not quite sure who the youngest players are in terms of the record books. I'm sure the guys will let us know that. But there's an opportunity for, I think, at least a couple of those guys to get on today. I don't really see the point of throwing on the experienced players. Give the young guys the game. These are the games, I said to you, that they'll remember. If they get their debut, they remember it for the rest of their lives, regardless. And also then they can be part of the celebrations after it when the trophy's presented.
So I see big changes today for this one. 7 for Celtic and 9 for Hearts.
Let's keep going. Rugby Park is the venue for Kilmarnock against Rangers. Lots of subplots to that one this afternoon. Andrew McLean and Alex Ray are there for us.
Yeah, good afternoon. Plenty to talk about, as you said, with this one. These two gearing up for their final outing of the season. Kilmarnock are doing their 150th anniversary celebrations today, and they'll be hoping that by the end of play today they could stay in that third spot and clinch European football for the first time since the 1960s. Also, it's looking as if it could be Steve Clark's final bout at Rugby Park. A move to take over the Scotland job seems to be getting ever closer, and that could be announced in the next few days. So if it is to be, I'm sure you'll get a great send-off here from nearly a full house at Rugby Park. As for Rangers, well, they're looking to keep that great run of form going. Six wins on the bounce. Confidence is high. And they've never won all five post-split fixtures, actually, so there's a chance to do that today. Stephen Gerrard wrapping up his first season in Scottish football against a team that he's played six times this season. They've won three. Two of them. Kilmarnock have won one, and there's been three draws in there as well. As for team news, it's one change for Kilmarnock. Daniel Backman drops out, and Jamie McDonald comes in. A 4-3-3 for them. So it's McDonald in goal. A back four of Stephen O'Donnell, Kirk Broadfoot, Stuart Finlay, and Greg Taylor. The midfield three, Yusuf Malumbu, Gary Dicker, and Alan Power, with Chris Burke and Rory McKenzie either side of Eamon Brophy. The substitutes, Mackay, Bruce, Boyd, McElhenney, Waters, Miller and Tishbola. As for Rangers, five changes for them. Nikola Katic and Scott Arfield have been let away to go on holiday early, so they drop out. James Tavernier and Stephen Davis drop out of the squad completely, and Alfredo Morelos comes in for Jermaine Defoe. So it's Wes Fodringham in goal. It's a back four of John Flanagan, Connor Goldson, Joe Worrell and Borna Barisic. It's a midfield three of Ryan Jack, Glenn Kamara and Andy Halliday, with Daniel Kandeis and Ryan Kent either side of Alfredo Morelos. The substitutes, Firth, Dorans, McCrory, Koulibaly, Middleton, Mabudi and Defoe. The referee for this one, Willie Collum, who, interestingly, it's the first time he's refereed Rangers in 6 months, and that goes back to when they made a formal complaint about him after the game away to St Mirren earlier in the season. A lot to talk about for this one, Alex Ray.
Yeah, absolutely. It's much change for Rangers. Andrew, I'm looking at the Kilmarnock team there, pretty strong. I was coming down here thinking, oh, it'd be interesting to see how they approach this game, but when you look at the Kilmarnock personnel, you know that they are going to battle. You look at the midfield three of Malumbu, Dicker and Power, and then you look at Rangers midfield. It'll be a really interesting encounter. Morelos back in the team for Defoe. Speaking to one of the Kilmarnock players, he says it's great. The pitch is bone dry and they're looking to get wired in. So it's got all the ingredients to be a really good one. You know, for Kilmarnock's point of view as well, they'll be looking to secure that third spot. As you say, since the 1960s, this is an opportunity to secure, European football, which is a terrific achievement by Steve Clark and his players.
Plenty to look forward to here at Rugby Park this afternoon.
Hibs against Aberdeen's Easter Road. Dave Galloway has the team news.
Thank you, Gordon. Hibs only have pride left to play for, but boss Paul Heckingbottom is demanding a big improvement from his team this afternoon after describing the performance in last weekend's loss to Kilmarnock as rubbish. Aberdeen have a huge incentive as well to get a win here. That would snatch third place and Europa League football on the final day of the Premiership campaign if Kilmarnock can't beat Rangers. Also, a number of players on both sides will be playing the last games for them, like Marvin Bartley and Graham Shinney, and they'll all be very determined indeed to sign off on a high note. Hibs show just the one change. Daryl Horgan replaces Florian Camberi, so it's Ophir Marciano in goals. Across the back, David Gray, Darren McGregor, Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson. Midfield, Fraser Murray, Mark Milligan, Stevie Mallon and Stefan Omeyonga, with Daryl Horgan behind Mark McNulty up front. Substitutes for Hibs: Bogdan, Whitaker, Barkley, Slivka, Agyapong, Camberi and Shaw. Aberdeen make a couple of changes. Thomas Cherney and Conor McLennan are in. Out drop Joe Lewis and Greg Stewart. So it's Thomas Cherney in goals. Across the back today for the Dons: Shea Logan, Scott McKenna, Andy Considine and Max Lowe. Midfield, Conor McLennan, Lewis Ferguson, Dom Ball and Graham Shinney, with James Wilson behind Sam Cosgrove up top. Substitutes for Aberdeen: Craddock, Gleeson, Mackay, Stephen, May, Devlin, Campbell and Ross. And your match referee today here at Easter Road Stadium, it's Ewan Anderson.
Gordon Dalziel, what a day we have in store.
Yeah, fantastic. Looking forward to it, Gordon. I do agree with Jim Duffy. I think it's all about the celebrations at Celtic Park today, obviously lifting the trophy. I don't think we'll get any idea of how the cup final will go, because I don't think a lot of the players will be involved next Saturday, so you can put that right out the window. Down at Rugby Park, I think we'll get an absolute cracker. Full house down there. Kilmarnock trying to get into Europe. That, what a fantastic achievement that would be for Steve Clark and Kilmarnock. And obviously Rangers want to finish in the high. So, and you look at Easter Road as well, I think Dave Calloway's in for a real good game. So three terrific games. But I think all the eyes will be in Kilmarnock Rangers, because I just think that looks the better game this afternoon.
Yeah, without doubt. Sometimes you say this could be a dress rehearsal for the cup final. Far from it today. It's more about giving these guys, these young guys, a run out. Mikey Johnson in the team, looking forward to seeing him. He's been thrust into the team at Ibrox, which I was going to say unfair, but it's a great achievement from him. But can we get a real grasp of how he can perform? Ibrox, lone man in the 29th, a wing back last week, but today he'll probably play in his more natural position. Ewan Henderson back in the side. So the Celtic fans going along get a glimpse of what's to come. But in terms of the game of the day, I think it will be at Rugby Park, Kilmarnock against Rangers. Changes to the Rangers side, but I expect that one to be a cracker.
Well, the one who we've spoken about most at Celtic Park will be on the bench. Karamoko Dembele is 16 years old. He has been spoken about since he was 13. He has been an internet sensation. He has made his way through the ranks at Celtic, and I'm sure the crowd there today would love a glimpse of Karamoko Dembele actually on the park in a first team jersey. Also a day of question marks. Is it going to be Neil Lennon's last day at Celtic Park? Could it be that the cup final will be his swan song, or the Celtic have it in mind to give him the manager's job on a permanent basis? And if it is Steve Clarke's last day in office at Rugby Park, Kilmarnock will be able to look back on two seasons of achievement, high ability, and the club being lifted out of the doldrums by this man. Because Kilmarnock, crowds were low, apathy was high, but this man, Steve Clarke, completely turned the club around. And if it is his last day and he's the new Scotland manager, Billy Bowie and the Kilmarnock board will have some job in their hands finding his replacement.
Jim Duffy, understandably, lots of people turning up at Celtic Park will be waiting to see if they can get a glimpse of Karamoko Dembele. As Hugh mentions, he's been spoken about for years, but Brendan Rodgers has previously spoken about, you know, a 5-year plan for the player and all the rest of it. The club did everything they could to get him on a contract, which he signed, and now we find out if he makes his bow in the first team this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you've got any, you know, talented young player, there's always that balance between being excited, yeah, and being careful. You know, are we building them up too much? Can the young player handle it? Will it go to his head? You know, all those things. But the staff at Celtic will know the player. They'll know his personality, and they'll know if it's the right time to pitch him to the first team or to hold him back a little bit, you know, not give him too much too early. But I think sometimes when you've got that outstanding talent, you know, if there's an opportunity to get himself on the pitch and in the first team, then put them in. You know, I mean, you know, there's been many success stories, not just at Celtic Park, but you know, around the country. And one of our own sports guys, Derek Johnson, you know, at 16 years of age, scoring the goal for Rangers. So you know, growing up a fabulous career. So you know, I think that if you've got talent, you know, I think that you go and play and a chance to express yourself. So hopefully we get that chance to see him today. But for the Celtic fans coming today, it's all about the end of the game, really. As Gordon had mentioned there, you know, it's all about seeing that trophy getting presented, the celebrations, and a reward for all the hard work they've put in this season. And you know, once again, they've been the best team by still a good margin in the country, even though the points differential is less, and Rangers obviously in that fantastic victory in the last game. But over the piece, I think Celtic have still been the driving force of Scottish football and the benchmark for everyone else.
Yeah, so I look to the future with the likes of Karamoko Dembele, but Jim, perhaps a thank you for the past to some of these guys as well. Benkovic, Toljan, Burke will almost certainly leave. Obviously there's the cup final still to come, but I'm talking about at Celtic Park in the league. Even guys like Nir Beaton, and of course the unavoidable one as well, it may well be a thank you and a goodbye from the home support for Neil Lennon.
Yeah, possibly. You know, I mean, we're still to find that out. And obviously, Mboyata, he's not playing today, but he's signed for Hertha Berlin, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a number of players, and it just shows you in Scottish football that even the top clubs like Celtic have to look at the loan market to make sure they compete. You know, for all the trophies either in Europe or domestically. And these guys you mentioned, Toljan, Benkovic, etc. You know, Ollie Buck. They've got to go back to their parent clubs, you know, and that's something that Celtic have done well over the last few years, and other clubs, I said, I've had to do that as well. It's just where we are in Scotland. We can't afford to go and buy these type of guys. So, you know, the loan market has been very lucrative for Celtic. And it's an opportunity for these guys, as I said, to go out on a high. And, you know, that's what they want to do. They don't want to make it too flat. But it's always difficult, these type of games, because the atmosphere won't... It'll crank up at the start of the game, as it always does. But throughout the game, it'll really be up to the players to see how they approach it. If they've got the right mentality, then it'll keep it buoyant. If it doesn't, it goes a little bit flat, and as I said, and everyone's then just waiting on the final whistle.
And similarly, Alex Ray, the unavoidable one is Stevie Clark. Is this going to be his last game before he goes and takes over as the Scotland national team manager? And Alfredo Morelos back in the Rangers starting 11 today. Will this be a goodbye from him?
Well, it's interesting, Gordon. I think Stevie Clark has probably got a better chance of leaving due to the speculation. He may well be taking up the post to manage Scotland over the next couple of years. Morelos is up in the air. It really depends on if there's a substantial bid. But I'm of the opinion, this is an interesting one, Gordon. You speak to people, they're saying cash in, try and build on it and get more players in. But Jim Duffy and the guys that have managed in the studio know that they do not want to lose their good players. He comes under that bracket, 29 goals potentially, go over 30 today if he can get on the score sheet. So, you know, you don't want to lose these type of guys, Gordon, and you want to build on top of that. And the more quality gives you that better chance, as Jim Duffy says there. You want to compete against Celtic next year, and you also want to overtake it from a Rangers perspective.
Yep, so it's a day of question marks, but the football before we get to the end of the game should be interesting. A lot of unwarranted criticism has come the way of Neil Lennon since he took over from Brendan Rodgers. But I mean, the team he has chosen today is managing the squad properly. It is giving people a glimpse of the future with Daniel Church, Armstrong, Okoflex, Karamoko, Dembele, and even young Ewan Henderson in the starting 11. So I can see no reason to criticise the man for that. And Kilmarnock are clearly intent on finishing on a high against Rangers, because the Kilmarnock side sounds like a more normal version of themselves than the Rangers side does about them.
Yeah, it's a strong Kilmarnock side because they've got everything to play for, really, when you look at it. If they can finish third, Gordon, and Andrew and Alex were saying there about getting into Europe for the first time in the 1960s, what an achievement for a club that really was, no disrespect, was a nothing club to Steve Clark walked in. And he's turned it completely around. He's put bums in seats. He's got the excitement back in Kilmarnock. They like the brand of football. They've been terrific. He's manager of the year again. He's obviously going to be the Scotland manager. So I think everything looks towards a high for Kilmarnock. That'll be a terrific game.
Three crackers this afternoon: Celtic against Hearts, Trophy Day, Kilmarnock against Rangers, Hibs against Aberdeen. And we'll hear from some of the managers next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celtic v Hearts, Kilmarnock v Rangers, and Hibs Aberdeen. That's your offering on the last day of the Premiership season. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are in the studio. We've got the top team all around the grounds as well. We're here until 6 o'clock, and of course you'll have your chance later on to have your say on the open line. Just quite terrifyingly, Hugh, this is the last day of the league season. How did that happen so quickly?
Well, you know, in many respects, it's been a troubled season. We've had all manner of off-field problems. We've had, right up to the very last moment, we've had problems with the disciplinary system. We've had problems off the park with pyrotechnics, questionable songs. But at the end of the day, there's a trophy being presented to Celtic, and their consistency has been quite remarkable. In spite of losing their iconic manager, they have got over the line under the stewardship of Neil Lennon. I think he deserves credit today, and I think the crowd ought to recognise what he has done. They did not always appreciate the style of football, but they were, up until last weekend, undefeated, and they have made the cup final as well, a historic treble, a potential for Celtic. So it's been a troubled season, but you must also recognise when a side has been as consistent as Celtic have been and overcome the loss of their manager into the bargain.
I mean, Alex Ray, on a footballing sense, you can make a case for it being a brilliant season. When you think back to August and everything that's happened since then, Hearts starting the season so well, being top of the table, and questions as to whether they could hold on to it. Invariably, Celtic coming strong, Rangers finishing the season well. Various managers have changed as the battle at the bottom's heated up. It's been breathless and fantastic stuff at times.
Yeah, I think it's been brilliant, Gordon. You rightly said there at the start of the season, Hearts started the season brilliantly. The Edinburgh Festival, Neil Lennon had them playing well. Then you've changed your managers, Neil losing his job. Several managers at the bottom, you know, went right to the wire with St Mirren, Hamilton as well, Dungeon down. It's had everything, and it's been really enjoyable, Gordon. And unfortunately, as you touched upon there, you know, we've had all this ugly side of it, but it's important to try and focus on the brand and what we actually bring to the table. You know, we're a small nation, but some of the football at times have been brilliant.
Yeah, Jim Duffy, I think all across the board, I've clearly missed out lots of things there. There's never a week goes by that we've not had another big story, a big talking point, some controversy along the way. But as you look back on this league season as a whole, Jim, I think it'll go down as a fairly memorable one, won't it?
I think it's a season, I said before, I don't think we top a game up enough. You know, unfortunately, as the guys have mentioned, there's so many aspects of off the field stuff that's been negative. But on the pitch, which is emerging talent, you know, some great football. We, you know, both major clubs in Celtic and Rangers at the start in the European competitions and the Europa League, good competition in that. You know, obviously, as you say, there's been so many changes in managerial, including the national team manager as well. So, you know, there's been an awful lot of talking points. You know, it's never boring, Gordon. You know, we sometimes, you know, maybe not have the superstars that they have down south and the money, but, you know, there's always something to talk about in Scottish football. And as I said, I just think that you know, we have enough a lot of positive football that we sometimes don't appreciate. You know, and again, as you mentioned there, I think a special mention to Brian Rice and Hamilton Accies again for staying up every year. Everyone tips them to be relegated every year. They've got the lowest budget, smallest crowds, all these kind of things, but they just seem to time and time again, just in the face of adversity, manage to find a way of being successful. And I think it's a six year in a row, I think the Premier League, and I think that's unbelievable when you look at some of the clubs that have been relegated and Hamilton have managed to stay up there. Outstanding. I think we were asked a few months ago who we thought. I thought Hamilton, just simply because they're used to it. They've got in their DNA that, listen, right is off at your peril. And as I said, and although today we're celebrating the champions, there's a possibility, as I said, of Kilmarnock finishing third. I think Hamilton deserve an awful lot of credit. And sometimes these type of things, when Alec and I'll know and tell you, when you're working with the budgets and the constraints that these clubs have, competing, remember, they're competing against Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hibs, etc. And they're holding their own. And you know that to me is a fantastic benchmark for a lot of small clubs.
Yeah, I mean, there's been success stories all over the place, Mark Wilson, because success is relative depending on who you are. Celtic are top of the tree. They've won two trophies. They might make it three. When you look beyond that, Rangers have improved. They're feeling good about themselves. You can't avoid Kilmarnock, certainly, if they finish third. I mean, and you can go all the way down. Look at what Livingston have done, back-to-back promotions. Motherwell, who would have thought you'd be so happy with an eighth place finish? But when you finish the season the way they have, bringing through all the youngsters, Hamilton Accies survive, you can make a case for so many different success stories.
Listen, it's been an absolute outstanding season. Sometimes the compliance officer has had more mentions than some of the players, but you're right, Gordon. When you go down the league, you look at Livingston, the start they had with Kenny Miller, they get in Gary Holt, everyone's tipped to go down, but they battle away, they get points against Celtic and Rangers at home. Outstanding. David Turnbull, you know, the find of the season, 15 goals in 30 appearances from a midfielder. Outstanding. Hamilton made a big change. You know, it was a big call sacking Martin Cannon and bringing in a guy who had no managerial experience being the number one, but it worked. So it's been an outstanding season. Celtic have been very good. The Celtic Rangers games have been closer than we've seen for many a year. They've been entertaining. So, I mean, it's been highly entertaining. And, you know, long may it continue. Kilmarnock will have a quest trying to find a new manager that can replace Steve Clarke and do as well as him. But it's been outstanding to see some of the performances.
Yeah, I've got you back, Mark, up now. I think it's been terrific. I've been out there week in, week out, sitting in sometimes nice stadiums, warm, sitting freezing, going till 6 o'clock.
But I've never like to bring it up.
I've never walked away from a game this season and said, you know, that's a nothing game. I love the fact that we're getting young talent introduced, and the highlight for me all season after all the years in football, getting locked in at Jim Duffy's Dumbarton.
It doesn't actually end this season, because the excitement carries on. If Steve Clarke is the new Scotland manager, then we have Cyprus and Belgium to play in quick succession. Now, Belgium, the number one rated team in the world. We've had
You're excited about that? Well, about facing them?
Yeah, because I think the Steve Clarke revolution begins immediately.
Yeah.
Against Cyprus. And I know Jim Duffy is the devoted Scotland supporter at every game at Hampden. We have been mediocre for too long, suffered under too many managers, have been nowhere for 21 years, and I am excited by the prospect of what Stevie Clarke might do in the national team manager's role.
Let's stick to the domestic stuff for now and start hearing from the managers. Neil Lennon will get his hands on the trophy a bit later on. Here's what he had to say ahead of kickoff.
I'm excited. You know, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to the game as champions. Obviously, we're in great form. Rangers are in good form as well. So it's a game that I think everyone's looking forward to. No more so than myself. You know, it's been a while since I've been in the dugout at Ibrox with Celtic, so it's always a good occasion to look forward to.
Sounds like that was last week's Neil Lennon clip. Always helpful.
I'm sure another week of the season.
Nevertheless, he's excited, so it almost works. Well, Jim Duffy, Neil Lennon was saying last week about 14 titles Celtic have won this century, 10 of them he's been a part of, either as a player, manager, interim manager. He'll savour this. We don't quite know yet whether this is the end of the journey for him at this moment, but nevertheless, he's played an important role. You can leave it up to everyone else to decide how big a role, but an important one nevertheless.
Yeah, a vital role. I mean, it's very rare that you get a job, you know, to go to a team that's top of the league, and you know kind of most people think it's guaranteed to wrap a title up, and all you can do really is fail. But he didn't. You know, he managed to get there, and yeah, some of the performances might have been not as free-flowing as previous, but you know, the one thing they did do, and you know, they didn't lose goals, and you know, they won a lot of games late in the game, and I think again that's down to Neil Lennon's drive. He's the type of person he is, what he makes sure his players always have that will to win, and that's a fantastic quality to have, and sometimes I think it's underestimated to have that quality and the organisation that goes along with that. Stevie Clarke gets huge plaudits for his team being organised, disciplined, hard to play against, playing the counter-attack. Neil Lennon gets criticised for it. And then Stevie Clarke's manager of the year. You know, so it just depends on what club you're at sometimes. And I think that Neil Lennon's done a terrific job there. But you would think that if he was going to be the permanent manager, I don't see any reason why you would just wait till after the cup final. I don't get it. Surely it's not down to, you know, whether he wins a treble. You know, I think the board have got to believe that he is the man to take Celtic forward, and if he is, then give him the job. But the fact that that's not been confirmed yet seems to suggest that they have someone else in mind.
I guess to an extent, Jim Duffy, if you're a decision maker, you have to find a balance between taking your customers, your fans' opinion on board, and also doing what you think's right. There's a delicate balance to be found, but there's no doubt, just listen to this show night in, night out, it divides the Celtic fans unbelievably, this question of who the next manager should be.
Yeah, I think it divides the fans because they don't know who the best option would be. I think there's so many opinions and so many names getting bandied around. But, you know, I think that if someone says, right, OK, we're going to give it to, you know, okay, we'll take one of the most recent names. I know he's been out before, but Slaven Bilic. But if someone said, was it Slaven Bilic, then I think you get an idea of the kind of Celtic fans end. But it's because there's so many names going about that it's hard to put your finger on one in comparison to Neil Lennon. But I just genuinely, again, I think, as I said, if it was going to happen, I think I don't see why it wouldn't have happened by now. And Neil himself, I think his representatives and all this kind of stuff, I think all of that would have been done. I don't think they'll wait until the very last second because of the preparation. We know it's different about recruitment now, but you've all have an input in it. But I just don't see how that would be the case if I don't see them just all of a sudden trying to squeeze it in, because the the qualifying ties come up very, very early. So Celtic have got a lot of preparation. And as we mentioned earlier on, loan players leaving, a lot of the squad leaving. There's going to be a trimming back, I think, of the squad as well. They're a bit top heavy. So there's a lot of work to be done for Celtic, and they really need a manager in, confirmed as soon as possible.
Jim, I honestly believe, and you and I are Glaswegians, I am a good bit older than you, however, we both understand the way this city works. And I honestly believe that for all of next season, we go into a state of suspended animation, because the only thing that concerns the Celtic supporters is getting to 9 in a row. And we know what the consequence of that will be. The next season could be a 10. And the only thing that matters to the Rangers supporters is stopping 9 in a row. I honestly don't think that the Rangers or Celtic supporters care about anything else where the game of football is concerned. And I think that's why the appointment of a Celtic manager is a unique one here, because he has to understand the heartbeat of the city. And the people at Celtic demand 9 in a row and are not interested in Europe or anything else. And the Rangers supporters are not interested in Europe or anything other than stopping Celtic getting 9 in a row.
No Stephen Gerrard on pre-match media duties for Rangers this weekend, so let's hear from Gary McAllister.
Rangers have never had a clean sweep, after the split. So that's a good incentive. You know, we're on a good run, so it'd be nice to finish in a high and give the fans something to go into the summer and just have that sort of buoyancy, for next season. Kilmarnock have proven to be tough for us this season. This is our 7th game against them. We're going to the pitch. Let's not talk about the pitch, but. You know, Steve Clark's somebody I respect. He's a good coach, good CV, and it's been hard to break down Kilmarnock in games. You know, they've been tough games. You know, good technically and tactically, and they've always been pretty close games.
Alex Ray, just looking at some of the personnel involved, we always end up coming back to Morelos for one reason or another, because he's a very, very good player, and there's a lot else that comes along with him as well. You said that you don't necessarily buy into this idea that it would be a good thing to cash in. You don't want to see the good players leave the club. What do you think will happen, though? Regardless of what you want to happen, is your gut feeling that this is his last game for Rangers?
Well, if you listen to some of his interviews in the media in the last couple of weeks, Gordon, he wants to play at a higher level, but he has done that over the course of his time at Rangers. You know, he's obviously doing interviews out with the usual guys like myself, so he's making noise that he wants to move on, and it depends on the offer. That's the thing, Gordon. I genuinely don't know whether he's going to leave or not. As I said, this is just my personal opinion. You try and keep a hold of your good players, but I said in the show many, many times, the actual transformation this boy in a year has been remarkable, and I mean that by his overall game. Now, you can take his discipline aside, I'm just talking about purely from a football aspect. It makes sense to put him in today as well. I think his record against Kilmarnock this season has been absolutely brilliant. He tends to score lots and lots of goals against him, and as Gordon Dale will testify, you come up against teams who you like playing against. He loves the physical aspect of Broadfoot and Finlay today. It's going to be an absolute battle for him as well, because I was just talking to Andrew while you guys were in the last break. This pitch is absolutely bone dry. I was down talking to some of the backroom staff earlier on, and then one of the Kilmarnock players come past and says, "Well, no putting any water on it, because we want it to be an absolute battle. We want it to be sticky. We want it to be physical." And that absolutely suits them. And because of the actual ramifications for Kilmarnock to get through, for me, this is the best game of the day, and I expect plenty of goals also.
Yeah, I've been involved in games in these pitches, but let's not make the pitch an excuse. Both teams have got to go out and play in it. Kilmarnock train it every day, and they're quite right to try and get every advantage you can. If they don't want to put water on it, fine, let's go on with it. But I look at the Rangers team, it's still strong enough, and I do agree with Alex. There's teams that you play against, especially when you're a centre forward, and you love playing against them. You love playing against the centre backs. You know what it's all about. You know it's going to be a battle, and you always have this feeling that you can score against certain teams, and that's what centre forwards do. And I'm not surprised Morelos is put in there.
Do you think it will be his last game?
No, I don't. I think that because it's so important for Steven Gerrard to win silverware next year, as much as everybody is patting him the back and saying what a terrific job that he's done this season, yes, we all go with that. Transfer market in the summer's got to be very important to him. Keep your best players, because if he comes next season and he's not got a trophy in the bag, I don't think he'll be there. So what you want to do as a manager is you want to have your best players available. Morelos is one.
Interesting, Gordon, that Graeme Souness was up here a few weeks ago, and he was asked about Morelos, and he thought, no, top sides in the English Premier League, no, certainly top half of the English Premier League, no. He actually said he thought that there was more chance of a championship club getting Morelos.
Yeah, I can understand where Souness is coming from. Obviously, Souness watches the English league week in, week out, knows a lot about it because that's what his job is down there. Even the championships, Marcel, if you see some of the clubs in the championship, I can see where he's coming from. But if I was Rangers, especially with Celtic going tonight, you're looking at giving up 29 goals so far. I think that's a lot to give up. I think they've got to try and keep them.
Okay, three big games coming up this afternoon: Celtic Hearts, Kilmarnock Rangers, Hibs Aberdeen. The weekend started yesterday though. Hamilton Accies are in the division again. They just survive year after year. St Mirren will have to go through the nerve shredding playoffs. We'll look back on it all, and we're going to build up to the kickoffs because they're fast approaching. That's coming next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes to kick off at Celtic Park. It will be trophy day. Celtic against Hearts first though. Kilmarnock against Rangers. Lots to take into account in that game. Will it be Stevie Clark's last game? Will it be Alfredo Morelos' last game? Can Kilmarnock seal third place? And of course, the game between Hibs and Aberdeen, that will go a long way to deciding whether Kilmarnock can seal third place. Let's go back to Celtic Park. Jim Duffy, is there anyone out there amongst those changes who has a chance of playing themselves into the cup final?
I think maybe Scott Sinclair. I know that sounds a bit strange to say. A guy that scored, was it 16 goals a season, I mean, a pivotal part in Celtic success. But, you know, under Neil Lennon, he hasn't been an automatic choice. So I would probably think that he might be the only one, really. I think the rest of the guys that have come in today, although don't get me wrong, I'm a big admirer of Benkovic, but I think Simonovic has been terrific, you know, alongside Dyer. So I don't think that will change. So for me, the only one, I think, if he's up for it and shows the right attitude and, you know, right enthusiasm, would be Scott Sinclair, who could perhaps again scored against Hearts as well. As Gordon is saying, you know, sometimes if you've got a team you seem to enjoy playing against, then that could be important. So yeah, that for me would be the one.
Here's Craig Levine. Here's what he had to say in the build up.
We'll be a younger squad, probably, or younger squad definitely. How many of the youngsters start, with to sort of wait and see, but I'm inclined to give some of them some experience and some game time, and at the same time you know, have a look at a couple of things shape wise. It's a funny situation to be in, you know, it's exactly the best way to deal with it, and a number of scenarios are obviously going through my head, but you know, obviously my main focus has to be making sure we've got all of our best players available for the final.
Does it become a difficult game to approach, Jim Duffy, in the sense that the guys who are out there, can they keep the cup final out of their heads, whether it be, I don't know, steaming into a 50-50 and knowing that you might come off worse and not make the big game next week?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, yeah, I think when you get on the pitch, I think all that goes out of the head. If you know, the guys will tell you, you're more likely to get injured when you're getting half-hearted than you're getting 100%. But I think the type of game it is, there's an awful lot of young players on show. There's a lot of energy out there, enthusiasm. But I think they're the kind of ones, if you want to call it that, they'll look as if they'd be guaranteed playing next week. I don't see any issues with that. You know, I mean, I think, you know, they might be later on in the game, they might just be a wee bit careful. But I think there's certainly the first 75 minutes, they'll just take care of the game. But I mean, we're talking about Celtic and those young players, and we mentioned obviously Karim Oakwood and Bailey and guys like that on the bench. But Hearts have got a 17-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 19-year-old in the starting 11. So all credit to Hearts again. Similar, we mentioned a little bit, Motherwell bringing these young players through. You know, it's Celtic obviously, but now Hearts have done it over the last few weeks, and this will be a big test for them. So you know, again, how do they handle the occasion, the atmosphere, particularly the start of the game when it will be cranked up? And it'll be interesting to see how those young Hearts players adapt to that, and it'll be a big test for them as well.
Alex Ray, it becomes about priorities at this time of the season. Steven Gerrard understandably needs to give players as much rest as they can. It's the likes of Scott Arfield on his holidays, James Tavernier not involved, and in a strange way, though, will Will that be a bit of a shame for some of the Rangers fans who were really enjoying the starting 11 that they've put out in recent weeks, and perhaps the way they were playing without guys like Morelos in the team?
I think that was one of the things, Gordon, when you look at the consistency. You can more or less name the starting 11 throughout the period of this last six games or so, and the introduction of, but it's an opportunity, Gordon, when you look at Flanagan playing at his natural position. Worrell will probably be his last game. You're looking at Barisic, you're trying for to see some, but something from this guy. You know, he's had periods where he's been decent. It's an opportunity for Andy Halliday as well. Candias comes back in to support Kent with Morelos up top. So there's a lot of opportunities for guys here. You know, if it's me, Morelos, I am dying to get into 30 goals. What an achievement that would be. I was just doing some of the stats while we were over at Parkhead there. 9 goals he's got against Kilmarnock already. So if he gets another goal, Gordon, he may well get the back four of Kilmarnock. Going on holiday with him to look after him, because you have them in their back pocket this season.
Well, on the other hand, Alec, Stevie Clark will want to go out on a high. He's had 78 games in charge of Kilmarnock and he's lost 18 of them. You know, as we said earlier on, Kilmarnock were pretty much going nowhere until he got there. And that is a commendably high number of games to go without defeat. So I think if Morelos wants 30 goals, you're going to have to work for him.
That's a frightening stat, Hugh, that you just said. Yeah, I didn't realise that. 18 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's lost them. You can see that in the crowd today. The Kilmarnock fans turned out. I mean, how many times have we seen games at Rugby Park and you see probably two or three stands empty? But today, the Killie fans have come out in their number. I know there was old ticket debacle, but good on them. And it's all down to Steve Clark. You're right, Hugh. A couple of years ago, you couldn't see Kilmarnock going anywhere apart from probably a division down at one stage. But Steve Clark's come in, done a terrific job. And I said at the start of the show, Kilmarnock have got some job finding a replacement, because anyone that comes in is on a hiding to nothing that takes that job.
Alex Ray, we're mentioning guys, and you can't mention them all, people who are playing the last game, people who might be playing the last game. I suppose Joe Worrell comes into that category. He's a loan signing. I don't think anyone expects him to be at Rangers next season.
No, I think he'll probably go back down the road. And saying that, Gordon, up until maybe, I don't know, half a dozen games ago, he was a mainstay. He was a starter. And then obviously Katic should come back in. For me, it looks a better partnership with Golson and Katic. And I'd just like to give Dorans a mention as well. You know, Graham Dorans comes back into the mix since the 26th of September with that terrible injury. So this is an opportunity to get a little cameo before the season finishes. You know, we all know what it's like to be in that position. It's extremely difficult. It's a lonely place. So hopefully he gets a little run out as well, Gordon.
Can you put any emphasis on what Rangers do this afternoon, Alex? Or is that done now? They've got the six wins in a row. Yeah. They've shown that they can beat Celtic. That perhaps some of the changes today reflect the idea that win, lose or draw, Steven Gerrard won't be too concerned.
Well, Gordon, I think it was Gary McAllister said in his pre-match there that they haven't won the five post-split games, so that's an opportunity to be the first team to do that. If they win today, Gordon, and secure the 3 points, I think that would be a 15% uplift in last season's tally. So for me, you're always trying to chase that higher bar, try and build on points tally, because then next season you try and get above that, which will get you closer again to Celtic. As it currently stands, I think it's 11.4. been doing the stats, Gordon. So for me, Rangers have to approach this game in the right manner, because the one thing you can be certain of, Kilmarnock are going to do that.
Let's go back to Easter Road, because we've got Hibs against Aberdeen, which is a massive, massive game in the race for third. Let's get a recap of the teams and a final word with Dave Galloway.
Yeah, thank you, Gordon. Just to quickly recap, then, one change for Hibs. Daryl Horgan is in for Florian Camberi. So it's Ophir Marciano in goals. David Gray, Darren McGregor, Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson at the back. Fraser Murray, Mark Milligan, Stevie Mallon and Stefan Omeyonga in midfield, with Daryl Horgan off Mark McNulty up front. Subs, Bogdan, Whitaker, Barkley, Slivka, Agyapong, Camberi and Shaw. Aberdeen, two changes. Thomas Cherney and Conor McLeod. Lennon in for Joe Lewis and Greg Stewart. Thomas Cherney in goals. Shea Logan, Scott McKenna, Andy Considine and Max Lowe across the back. Midfield, Conor McLennan, Lewis Ferguson, Dom Ball and Graham Shinney, with James Wilson off, Sam Cosgrove up top. Substitutes, Craddock, Gleeson, Mackay, Stephen, May, Devlin, Campbell and Ross.
It's all set up in that one as well, Hugh Evans, because a lot of focus has gone on Kilmarnock purely because of the Stevie Clark factor as well, but Aberdeen have a job to do to finish third.
Yeah, and Paul Heckingbottom has done a terrific job with Hibs. Now getting into the Scottish spirit of things, talking about knocking people's teeth out and all the rest of it. But he's done a terrific job on the park for Hibs, and that will be, in the old-fashioned expression, a ding-dong battle.
Three great games this afternoon, and the kickoffs are next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Welcome back to Rugby Park. Kilmarnock taking on Rangers in the final league day of the season here today. Plenty of interest in this one. Alex Ray here with me. I'll give you a recap of the teams first and foremost. A 4-3-3 for Kilmarnock. Jamie McDonald starts in goal. It's O'Donnell, Broadfoot, Finlay and Taylor across the back. Malumbut, Dicker and Power at the midfield three with Burke, Brophy and McKenzie. The front three. As for Rangers, Fodringham in goal. It's a back four of Flanagan, Goldson, Worrell and Barisic. Jack, Kamara and Halliday are the midfield three with Kandeis and Kent either side of Alfredo Morelos. Lots in this game, Alex Ray. Yeah. When you look at it, Kilmarnock have something to play for. Rangers don't. How much is that going to play a difference in this one?
Yeah, I think Kilmarnock are very much the team that are actually chasing that third spot, but I think it'll be an absolutely brilliant encounter. I'm looking forward to it.
What to look forward to here at Rugby Park for this one?
And it's trophy day at Celtic Park. Let's speak to Alison and Jim Duffy.
Celtic emerged from the tunnel here, a guard of honour from the Hearts players ahead of this game, the final game of the season, trophy day of course for Celtic. Lots of changes for both sides. It will be Scott Bain in goal for Celtic, a back four of Anthony Ralston, Philip Benkovic, Christopher Ayer and Jeremy Tolyan. There have been Yair Beaton and Olivier Cham with the three of Mikey Johnson, Ewan Henderson and Scott Sinclair, Oliver Burke as the lone striker. For Hearts, the Denix Lamal in goal, a back four of Michael Smith, John Souter, Connor Shaw, Hussein, Aaron Hickey. In the midfield, Connor Smith, Andrew Irving and Ollie Lee up top. Sean Clare, Craig Whiten and Jake Mulraney. The referee for this one at Celtic Park is Craig Thompson. Jim Duffy, a sellout here at Celtic Park. I think it's fair to say with all the changes to both sides, we're not going to get much indication as to what's going to happen next week.
No, I don't think it'll be an indication of the team selection for the cup final. But in terms of looking at the future for both clubs, I think we'll get an indication of the talent that's there. Celtic got a young players today with Henderson, again getting an opportunity. Mikey Johnson getting another opportunity. And obviously Ralston at fullback. And Hearts having three young players as well, with this Smith, Hickey and Irvin in there. So, plenty of young talent on show, and they'll be looking to express themselves today. And as you say, in a full house, so the atmosphere's there. Hearts giving Celtic the guard of honour. A lot of talk about that last week. And we look forward to a fantastic football match here today on a perfect surface and a perfect day for football.
We touched on the Celtic bench already and we were talking about young players. Now, if Karim Okwudibele does come on, he won't be the youngest player to start for Celtic. He misses out by just about 2 weeks.
Yeah, to Jack Aitchison, who I think played last year. Yeah, but again, as I said to you, we've spoken many times about Celtic's strength and depth in the first team squad, but also in their development squad, the reserves, etc., all those young players. There's an awful lot of them. A lot of them out on loan to get first team experience. Very difficult to force your way into first team on a regular basis, but they've shown it can happen. Guys like Callum McGregor, James Forrest have shown Kieran Tierney that can happen. And Celtic, for me, have got the right balance. They bring in top quality loan players, they develop their young players, and then they recruit some talented players as well. Like we've seen Edouard and Dembele going for 20 million, etc. So they are, as I say to you, they've got a fantastic pedigree of sourcing players and developing players. And today is an opportunity to see that balance against, as I said, a young Hearts team who will be looking to try and say to Craig Levein, listen, you don't need to get into the market too much in the summer. We can be an important part for you for next season.
Not long until kick-off here, but we will have minutes of remembrance for Stevie Chalmers ahead of kick-off here, Gordon.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. What did you make of the football today as the curtain comes down on another fantastic season in the Scottish Premiership? What did you make of the season as a whole? We now know the way the table finishes. Celtic are first, Rangers are second, Kilmarnock are third, and Aberdeen are fourth. So what's on your mind? Give us a call this evening, Hugh Keevans. We will be keeping going back and forward to Celtic Park, of course, because it is trophy day. What are you expecting on the phones?
Well, obviously, this young man, Karim Okwudibele, lighting up Celtic Park at the age of 16. Should he be in the squad for the cup final next week? Amazing though that may sound to some people. Oliver Burke, I think, has played himself out of contention to be taken off at half time today because, quite frankly, his attitude was something less than positive. I'm not sure he makes the cup final squad, but it depends on the extent of Neil Lennon's injury problems, and he, the manager, will clarify that over the course of the week. But Stevie Clark is the other man of the day. What a job he has done. I said to Mark Wilson, I've never seen Kilmarnock's both a sing like that before. I've never seen people get up off their seats, and the joy was obvious in the faces of men, women and children. So the job he has done in reinvigorating, almost reinventing a football club is astonishing.
Yes, any happy Kilmarnock fans, get on here and give us a call. Give us that raw emotion. Let us know what's on your mind. The disco lights are on at Celtic Park. This trophy presentation stage is in the process of being built. We're awaiting the players, so let's squeeze in a call first. John is a Celtic fan. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind after that then? Another season done in the league.
Another season done and another championship for Celtic. That's what I'm going to talk about. I'd just like to congratulate wee Lenny in getting this Celtic team into the eight in a row. And now that it's finished, the league that is, that's Neil Lennon took care of Celtic with 8 points clear. We finished the league 9 points clear. So he's done all right there. And I think he should get the job because he also took us to the cup final. There's some boys on the day on the pitch today that were really good. And I think if Neil Lennon's given a chance to sign some of the players that it'd be no way he can sign that he's done in the past, I think we'll be safe for nine. So what do you think, guys?
Jim Duffy is with us as well at Celtic Park. Jim, that is the question. Is it thank you and goodbye, Neil Lennon, or is it thank you, see you next season?
Well, it's got to be the harshest... Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you.
It's got to be the harshest decision ever if he doesn't get the job, because he's done everything he can possibly do. I mean, as you said there, he's increased the lead. They've won the title. They've got to the cup final. You know, so there's not much more he can do in terms of being, you know, if it's an interview for the job. But, you know, as I said, Celtic are a massive club and they've got to look worldwide for the best guy they think is available to them. But if it's Neil Lennon, as you said, I've heard it on the programme before, there's a divided opinion on it, but if it is him, then I think he would deserve the opportunity. I just think that he would have been told by now, and that's the only thing I think he would have known by now. I just don't think they can wait and wait and wait until after the cup final next week, because then, you know, you're at the end of May, you've only probably got about 4 weeks to prepare, you know. So I think, as I said, it will be harsh, but I would be surprised if he gets it. But I think, you know, from what he's done, I don't think you could argue that he's put up a magnificent case for the job.
Jim, do you think there's any possibility that he has been told and the public haven't?
Yeah, of course, I do. I mean, they may well have said, listen, we want to keep everything, but I can't work that out. The reason why that would be, you know, if you believe that the fans are with you and supportive, you think that, listen, this is the guy who's going to take us forward for the new season, get on with the new signings, I think they've got to throw a wee bit of money at Celtic to put a marker down to Rangers and to say, yeah, you have improved, but we are going to stretch again by, you know, signing some top class players, and you know, we're going for that nine in a row and then beyond that. And I think that's something that I think the recruitment side of it has to be well in advance. They made a mistake last summer. They can't make the same mistake this summer.
For me, Neil Lennon's greatest achievement, Jim, was taking over from Brendan Rodgers and stabilising a club who might at that stage have suffered a backlash from the loss of this icon.
Alison Conroy, the players and the trophy presentation just about to get underway.
Yeah, the coaching staff have come out of the tunnel. They are waiting on them, and it's going to be Celtic legend Paul McStay who will bring out this championship trophy, and he will be followed out by the Celtic players who will finally get their hands on this. As Paul McStay does emerge from the tunnel, you can hear from the reception here, these fans know exactly what Paul McStay means to the club as well, Jim Duffy.
Yeah, I mean, Paul was an absolute superstar. I mean, again, I think he might have debuted around about 16 or 17 years of age, a magnificent captain, outstanding player, and a one club man. You know, and you know, Paul, I think it's a fantastic honour for him to bring out the trophy, and rightfully applauded by the Celtic fans. I mean, one of Celtic's outstanding talents. You know, and again, as I said, a proud moment for him, and well deserved, and great to see Paul looking fit and healthy.
Neil Lennon will come out the tunnel with these players to celebrate this title. How will this one feel for him? He won titles as a player here, as a manager here.
I think he'll feel every bit as important to Neil as the other ones, but maybe even more so, because when you're the interim manager, you've never really had that. You've not been rubber stamped. So I actually think it might mean a little bit more to him as we hear the announcement. The players are now coming out to get their medals and lift the trophy. But I think it's an outstanding achievement. People say, yeah, it was easy. It's never easy when you're at a big club. You've got to go over the line and you've got to do it properly. And I think Celtic have done that.
As the players emerge from the tunnel, and we're watching Lee Griffiths as one of the players who has come out with his teammates to get his hands on one of these medals.
Yeah, again, it's widely documented about Lee's problem. But it's great to see him out there. And listen, I'm just looking at the Celtic backroom staff. That's more than I've got players at Dumbarton. But it just shows you that there's such a huge club, and the amount of players that are coming out. You know, I don't know how they'll fit.
Comper.
I don't think they'll all fit on that podium. But you do need them, and I see Derek Boate there as well, obviously. So listen, everyone plays a part. Everyone's got an important part. It is a huge squad, and as I said to you, but you know, that squad, I think, will have to be trimmed and tweaked in the summer, and that's the reason why I think we need the manager's position to be resolved as soon as possible.
We're in a way looking at the past and the future in a sense as well. We mentioned, you know, the likes of Marvin Comper there, Dedrick Boyata, who will be leaving in the summer for Hertha Berlin, and another player who is there is Marian Schwed, who has joined up with the team after returning from his loan spell.
Yeah, I mean, you've got all these players. Some of them will go back to a parent club, some will move on. The emerging young players we've seen today, obviously like Dembele, young Dembele's out there. He just walked around with under 20 squad, and now he's in with the first team squad. And I said, obviously Tierney looks like he's going to be getting that hernia operation in the summer. So there's just been so many players there, guys we've forgotten about a little bit, like Jack Henry, who started the season as an international squad player and then just found himself right out of the picture. So listen, there's a lot of decisions to be made at Celtic, but this is a day for celebrating. The season just finished today, and Celtic are the champions for the 8th time in a row, and thoroughly deserve to be champions. They've been the best team. There is absolutely no doubt about it.
It is the 8th straight title. Has this one been the most difficult for Celtic to win out of the 8?
I wouldn't say it's been the most difficult. I think the fact that, you know, on the back of the last couple of seasons under Brendan Rodgers, you know, it was always going to be difficult to follow up. But if they win the cup next week, it's a treble. You know, but it's about moving forward. We've just seen it down south in Manchester City. They've got the resources for the best talent, and Celtic have it in Scotland. But can they improve in Europe? Can they make the stage, the stretch ahead of Rangers again? Because the Rangers are breathing down their neck and will strengthen in the summer. But for me, Celtic have still got a fair bit ahead of Rangers, and I think Rangers have got all the work to do to catch up.
We've touched on already with the first caller. We don't know, will it be Neil Lennon or who'll be in at the start of the next season?
No, listen, that to me is something that has to be sorted quickly. The manager is absolutely instrumental in how you move your club forward, and if it's Neil Lennon or anybody else, I think the Celtic fans deserve to know as soon as possible.
It's a cheeky applause for Marvin Comper as he picks up his medal, and Jeremy Toljan is the last to receive from Neil Doncaster before we await Neil Lennon and Captain Scott Brown to come out of the tunnel to receive their medals as well. We're waiting on Neil Lennon. You'll hear the applause for him.
I think it'll be an emotional time for Neil Lennon, I really do. Yeah. I think, you know, he's obviously come out waiting for the fans. Is this his last game at Celtic Park as a Celtic manager? Or will he be the manager at the start of the new campaign, 2019-2020?
Neil Lennon will now address the fans here at Celtic Park, Gordon, before he gets his hands on his championship winner's medal as well.
OK, I doubt we'll be able to hear it, Hugh Keevan, so we'll just pick it up in the studio and we'll let Alison tell us what he had to say. And at the other game at Rugby Park, Stevie Clark is out getting his recognition as well, Alex Ray.
I have to say, Gordon, to a man, everyone stayed behind to see Stevie Clark. It's the most emotional I've actually seen him. He's high-fiving, he's pump-fisting, and he's gone towards the fans. Absolutely brilliant scenes here for the Kilmarnock fans. The first time since 1960s that he's taken them into Europe, and thoroughly deserved. What an incredible job this man's done. And the big question will be, Gordon, is he going to be the next Scotland manager?
That is the big question. Let's try and go back to Celtic Park. I don't think we can hear Neil Lennon, really, can we? So we'll just pick up a bit later on. But Stevie Clark, Hugh, he's getting the round of applause. He's celebrating it possibly is a goodbye. And you can't really argue with the way he leaves the club if it is.
You can never be blasé about success. Jim Duffy, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale will all understand what I mean. In football, you can never be blasé about success because you never know when the other side of the coin will turn up.
We are taking calls, of course, 01419511025. Just give us a bit of patience till we round off some of these celebrations at both grounds, and we'll get stuck in as soon as we can.
Now, if you're a reader of body language, Neil Lennon goes to embrace Peter Lawwell, Celtic's chief executive.
Scott Brown just coming out the tunnel now, Alison.
Yep, Scott Brown has come out the tunnel. He's going to have a quick word with the fans as well. Neil Lennon's collected his trophy. He simply said that he stood on the pitch here at Celtic Park 8 years ago and said it was the beginning. And he says never in his wildest dreams did he imagine that this is what would have happened in the 8 years that followed Jim Duffy. Jim is listening to Scott Brown, so he has his headphones off. He's addressing him. And he is now making that walk over to the podium as well, as the Celtic captain will get his medal from SPFL Chief Executive Neil Doncaster, and then he'll get his hands on that championship trophy, Jim Duffy, for the eighth time.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible record to win it eight times. Scott is one of those players that every team would love to have them in it, and he antagonises the opposition, but that's because he's a winner, a serial winner. I mean, his trophy cabinet is bulging, and he's going to be now picking up his eighth title as a Celtic captain.
He makes his way through the pack of Celtic players on that Celtic podium as they're counting up to eight before him and Mikael Lustig are going to lift the trophy together. And the trophy is lifted. The green and white confetti rains down on them. There's green and white fireworks. There's streamers here. As you can hear, the Celtic fans getting these celebrations underway as Celtic celebrate that eighth straight league title.
And there we are, Hugh Keevan's scenes of celebration, and understandably so. It's another long old campaign, and as far as the league's concerned, it comes to an end in familiar fashion with the trophy above Scott Brown's head.
Football will slap you on the back, and football will kick you in the teeth. So when it slaps you on the back, you milk it dry, and that's what the Celtic players and supporters are doing now as Steve Clark takes a wander around the perimeter of the track at Rugby Park, looking for family members in the crowd by the look of it. So it's an emotional day from Glasgow to Ayrshire.
Alex Ray, you always get this at the end of a season, Alex Ray, especially if you've had a successful one, but does that have the look of a goodbye from Stevie Clark?
Yeah, it looks very emotional, Gordon. He's walked around, he's already done this side of the stand, this main stand, and he's just taking it all in, really, Gordon. He was embracing all his backroom staff up at the far right hand side as I'm looking. And you're just saying to yourself, at the end of the season, he has delivered a remarkable. Hugh and Daz are talking about success. To get this team in the budget to third place in this division is a remarkable return. And I'm just waiting to see if he engages with the fella with the PA, just to see if we can get a heads up. I know he plays his cards directly to his chest. He's actually on the phone now. I think he's trying to phone someone in the
stand. I think
he's
phoning us. 01419511025. Stevie, give us a shout. Let us know what's on your mind. Robert is in Newlands. Hi, Robert.
Hi there, gents. Well, first of all, congratulations to Kilmarnock. I think it's a superb achievement from 3 years ago when they were battling to stay in the Premiership to now being in a European place. I think that's one of the best things I've seen in the Scottish League. So
absolutely.
Well done to them.
Well said.
But quite frankly, I think Rangers' performance today was absolutely shocking. We just looked so lethargic. We didn't look like we turned up today. It wasn't the team I saw last week. You know, I was on here on Monday telling you how delighted and high spirits I was in, and now I'm going back into work tomorrow and everyone's going to be laughing at me because we played so badly. One thing I will criticise the team selection today. I don't know why Borna Barisic is still in a Rangers jersey. I don't know what he's contributed to this club. I know he's been trying and there's been a lot of competition for his place, but he's proved today that he's not up for it. I'm sorry to say, and I think it's a very poor signing on Rangers' front. But he gave that the penalty that secured European football to Kamara, and how silly can he be? You know, if you tug any shirt at any part of the park, you're going to get done for it. And especially the watchful eye of Willie Cole, who doesn't really miss much. Yeah, I thought he had a good game today. But we played so poor. I can't believe we can go from the euphoric nature of how we played last Sunday to go to that. What has happened?
Alex Ray, was there anything about the performance that concerned you, or do you write it off as one of those end-of-season games where Rangers essentially had nothing to play for?
Well, they always have something to play for, Gordon, in terms of their playing. The fans behind the goal there are going to be disappointed at not getting the result here. And when you're a Rangers player and you're a Rangers fan, you don't want to be a partly atmosphere here at your expense. And that's exactly what's happened. I agree with the caller in terms of Barisic. It was just a slight little touch. And just over to my left-hand side earlier on in the game, Golson, there wasn't a great deal between the two of them. And unfortunately, Willie Collum has said that from a Rangers perspective, he's given that penalty. But over the course of the game, I don't think Rangers did enough, Gordon. There wasn't enough intensity. It was flat. And it did look to me as if that was the case for the Rangers players. They didn't show enough willingness to actually get that result that they needed. And we spoke at the top of the programme, the importance of Kamarnock, and they got that result.
Very critical assessment from the caller there, Robert, about Borna Barisic. Alex, what do you make of that?
Yeah, well, listen, I think he's come with a big price tag, Gordon. He has not fulfilled his potential as of yet. He's had a few injury over the course of the season, and the ball over, he just got caught on the wrong side. He looked as if he was a yard or two off it today, and he looks a bit tepid. He's actually been called out by Steven Gerrard to show a lot more desire, a lot more aggression, and if he's going to play in this league, he will have to find that from somewhere.
I don't know if you can hear Stevie Clark. I know he's on the pitch, Alex. He's speaking to the stadium announcer at the moment. Can you get a gist of what he's saying?
Well, if you go to one of the guys, I'll tell you exactly. But he's waving now, so I know he's a man of few words. But he's just kind of acknowledging all the stands, and rightly so. The three stands are singing his name. I have to say. But listen, if you go to the guys in the studio, I'll tell you what he's saying.
There we go. You can stay tuned to Stevie Clark at the moment. Robert, just to bring you back in, then. What do you think, Robert, as a whole? You've had a up and down season. It finished pretty strongly, although you weren't happy about today. What next? I mean, you're criticising guys like Barisic and so on. So what has to happen in the summer?
Well, I think this season we've improved. I mean, I think we've improved steadily throughout the season. I think when we first started, everyone was kind of getting worried, like, oh, is it going to be like one of those third place seasons again? But you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, so we kind of have to be patient. I think the patience is beginning to wear thin now, though, because there's not been any silverware. But I quite frankly look at it in two ways. One, we haven't won any silverware, granted, but you also have to remember that we could potentially be a very, very versatile squad next season. We need to build from the ground up. We need to get rid of the dead wood that haven't contributed a lot. I know we need a squad, but there's some players on that bench today, like Graham Dorans, no disrespect to him, but he's not done anything this season. You know, he can do a shift somewhere else, just not in the Rangers jersey. I'm sorry. We're now at the time where we just need to be a bit more, I'm trying to be a bit more slick in what we're doing. We just need to have a big spring clean, look at everything. What do we need? And the first thing that we do need is a solution to get Kent. And I said that on Monday, we need him because he's going to be difficult to replace. And the next thing I'm going to look for is I'm going to look for some more consistency, because that's what's cost us this season. Our discipline and our consistency has been dreadful.
Well, I think Robert's very critical on his team. I thought this afternoon was, you've got to give all the credit in the world to Kamarnock. They had something to go for. Even at 1-1, they threw men forward. They wanted that victory, and they got it, and they deserved it in the end. I do agree, Barisic is struggling just now. It's his first season in Scotland. They'll hope that he's better when, you know, he gets a pre-season under his belt. He knows the Scottish game now. But there's one or two players needing to move on, and new fresh faces needing to come into Rangers. But they wanted to finish in a high, Gordon. They were in a good run. But they faced a Kamarnock team that had European football staring them right in the face. They went out there, they got it, they delivered for their manager, who they're going to lose. So as much as Robert's upset about Rangers' performance, I think it's all about Kamarnock.
Yeah, I think the action's slightly hysterical on the part of the caller. You know, by his own admission, last weekend he was as high as a kite. Now he's lower than a chihuahua. So you've got to try and see it for what it is. You know, the
Robert was also talking bigger picture as well, though. He was talking about, you know, what's needed in the summer and so on.
Yeah, of course, the summertime for Celtic and Rangers is going to be frantic, and players will be taken out in great number, brought in great number. So I just think that the reaction to today's performance, I didn't get the impression it was as bad as Robert thought it was, to be honest.
Okay, thank you, Robert. In Newlands, Stevie Clark is addressing the Kilmarnock fans on the pitch. Is it a goodbye speech, or is it "I'll see you next season, get your passports looked out" speech?
It's a long speech, that's for sure.
I was going to say, Hugh, I've never ever heard him. Well, I don't hear him, but he's got a mic in his hand for about 10 minutes there.
Yeah. He's standing in the rain, and we're going to hear from him, hopefully, and Stephen Gerrard and Neil Lennon. That's all still to come. Get your calls in 01419511025.
Games are over. The talking begins. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Celtic have lifted their 8th consecutive trophy. Kilmarnock are the best of the rest. They secure 3rd place into Europe. Stevie Clark has been addressing the fans on the pitch. He says, "I'm sorry I couldn't win you a trophy in my time here, but this is my trophy." That sounds like goodbye, Alex Ray. You heard the man.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. It was the 3 stands he was referring to because of the response. They were singing "Stay, Stay, Stay." He told the fans that he had delivered a record points tally. Tally 1966 since we were last in Europe. He paid credit to his players. Without them he couldn't have done it. And he also paid credit to Billy Bowie. He says he's the best chairman he's ever worked with, and he says, "I've worked with some good ones, and Abramovich down at Chelsea." He says, "And Billy Bowie's got more money than him." So there you go.
There we go. He cracked a joke, Hugh, as well, just for you.
Yes, the Grinch came good in the end. But it's a sad day and a joyous day at the same time for Kilmarnock, because they've made it into Europe and the manager has gone. Sad day.
And Jim Duffy, everyone is getting in on the act at Celtic Park, because Moussa Dembele is on the pitch. So we've got former players, we've got players in Marion Schwed and so on who haven't even played yet. It's a cast of thousands lapping up the moment, and fair play to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. You know, it's about celebration, and you know, the players are on, wives, girlfriends, kids, former players, as you say, everyone that felt like maybe there's some sort of contribution, or the staff or their families, kids all running about playing, as a celebration. And when you work so hard over the course of a season and every team is determined to try and, you know, take that you know, the title from you, not in case of winning it, but when you beat Celtic, even in the few occasions you do lose, it's such a massive achievement for the opposition. And you know, so I think all credit to Celtic for winning the title again. Was it 9 points have ended up finishing with?
Yep.
And I think, as I said, in a season where you've had the likes of Livingston starting great and Hearts fantastic start, Rangers under Stephen Gerrard, as we mentioned there, Stevie Clark with Kilmarnock, then for Celtic to win so comprehensively, I think should not be underestimated. You know, and you know, I think again, what a fantastic job both Brendan Rodgers and Neil Lennon have done. And see, Neil Lennon, he stayed out the background a little bit. All the players were going to the crowds. He was just staying a little bit reserved. Not something normal. You can normally say about Neil Lennon is a little bit reserved, but he stayed a little bit out the kind of front line there. And you know, again, like Stevie Clark, who knows? You know what his future is going to, what's going to hold for him. But certainly today is a day for celebrating a fantastic achievement of winning the title for the 8th time in a row.
We're on the phone lines on 01419511025. We're going to hear from some of the managers today as well. Aman is in Govan Hill. What's on your mind after that, Aman?
Oh, I'm absolutely joyous watching that today. It was brilliant, and last week really getting beat with Rangers kind of sad, no, but I'm all over the moon today. But hey, I'd just like to say well done to Radio Clyde. I mean, it's been an amazing season. You know, I've been listening to it all the time, and it's great. But I want to ask Hugh and Mark, Neil Lennon has took us over the line, right? But we need a manager who can actually win us the next, like Brendan Rodgers has not lost a cup game in about 20-odd games. And like Neil Lennon against Morton, he lost against Inverness. I mean, don't you think it's about time that Celtic spent a bit of good cash to make sure that we Celtic fans have the next 2 seasons? After that, I don't care if you lose 7 in a row, Rangers can win the next 7, but as long as you get a 10. I want to ask Martin Hugh this question. But why are they so adamant for Neil Lennon to stay when he's, you know, he's never won a treble?
Well, but I think, sorry, Hugh, I think cups become irrelevant in the bigger picture. You know, the 9 and the 10 is what Celtic fans really want. Celtic will lose a cup game. You can't go on forever winning every cup game. So that time will come. But it's about a 38 game season. And Neil Lennon has proved in his time in the past and for his short spell here that he can win league titles for Celtic. He started it all off. He has the ability over the course of a season to get the job done.
Let a man back in, sorry Hugh, and then we'll hear your thoughts.
Right, okay, so Mark, you're saying that we will lose a couple of cup games, but Brendan Rodgers, nearly in 3 years now, he no lost a cup game.
That was so, exceptional,
with the money Celtic have got, and with Rangers, I mean, they're signing players from Motherwell and wherever they are, right? I mean, Celtic can just go and win the next 10 cup games, no problem.
A man makes my point for me that I've always maintained it doesn't matter to the Celtic and Rangers supporters. Nothing for the next 2 years matters other than can Celtic get to 10 in a row or can Rangers stop them. Europe is an irrelevance. The Scottish
but it's
Cup,
not though, because if you get to 9, 10 becomes easier if you've got 30 million from the Champions League. Why do we keep dividing them?
Yes, but if you ask a man what he wants out of life, and ask 99% of the Celtic supporters what they want out of life, all they want out of life is 10 in a row.
I don't dispute that, but I'm wondering the value in the question, because 10 becomes easier if you get the money from Europe.
Well, he's also asking the question about spending money, and I've said before, and I mean it, Celtic need serious players who cost serious money to bolster a squad that has done phenomenally well. Well, you just said to me Celtic need to spend money, and I've agreed with you. Now you're saying no.
I mean, they don't really spend. See, all right, okay, about 9-10 million, right? That's about it. But I don't think Rangers are signing players from Motherwell and all that. I mean, Celtic just need
a good
manager.
This is the complacent argument. Celtic, Rangers are signing players from Motherwell and from Aberdeen. Therefore, in your mind, Aman, that equates to non-success. That's complacency. You don't know that.
But at the same time, let me ask you about this obsession. You keep saying serious players for serious money. Have we not learned over the course of world football that the fee means absolutely nothing? There's James Forrest. He's on the television at the moment. He's the PFA player of the year. He's the Football Writers player of the year. He's the international player of the year. He didn't cost Celtic a penny. You take someone in previous seasons, Lee Griffiths, what was it, 40 odd goals
in
a season.
Why did Celtic spend £9 million on Odson Edward? Because they're trying to upgrade the quality.
Of course they are, but there's this assumption that you only get good players if you spend lots of money. I'm just not sure how that's true.
No, I'm not saying you only, but it's handy to have money and to spend that money wisely. And the squad needs refurbishment. It needs these players. I cannot pay tribute to them enough. To win 8 trophies in a row since the Brendan Rodgers era started 3 years ago, to win and to possibly get 9 trophies in a row shows remarkable consistency. But it's taking it out of the players, and they need help, and they need proper help.
Jim Duffy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Celtic's the right balance. You know, we said before, they bring in Tierney, McGregor, Forrest, guys like that, you know, and obviously Mikey Johnson's in the squad, Anthony Ralston, and they bring in talented young players from abroad, like Edward, Dembele. We've seen it in the past, obviously, there's a number of players we can go over, as we know. Van Dijk being the biggest one in world football, probably the best defender in world football now. So Celtic have got the balance right, I think, between bringing in their young players, sourcing, you know, potentially exciting players from abroad, and the loan players. I agree with Mark, they needed those loan players in January. They didn't quite, you know, fill the bill in terms of their consistency, Burke and Weir, but they needed somebody like that just to give them a bit of impetus in January when Rangers made those signings, particularly Defoe and Davis. But it didn't quite work out. I think that Weir frustrated the Celtic management team when he decided he wanted to leave to go and play for the National 20s, I think. And then obviously Ollie Burke hasn't quite clicked consistency, as has been right throughout his career, although he is, so I think he's only 21 years of age.
So, but I do think when you look at all the Celtic players coming out today to get their medals, I think there was about 36, 37 players, something like that. And out of that, you would have to say half of them, you know, I think we'll move on one way or the other. So there is a lot of work to be done for Celtic, but I still believe that if you look at them in comparison to anyone else, including Rangers, I still think that they're a fair bit ahead. And I think the Rangers have to get more creativity. They have to get more goals in their team. If Morelos does go, even if he stays, I think that they have to get more goals from the likes of, you know, they didn't have it from Kent, fantastic player, but didn't score too many goals. Candias, not too many goals. Midfield players, not too many goals. So they have to get more goals in their team, because if they don't get more goals, teams will still frustrate them, and they'll drop points. For the Celtic, have, as I said, don't lose many. Know how to win in the last minute. Know how to get over the line, and have done it once again this season.
Okay, we're going to speak to Thomas in Barrhead, but let's hear from Steven Gerrard first. Here's what he had to say following that defeat at Kilmarnock.
You know, I'll take responsibility for it. You know, I made the changes in certain areas. I thought the performance was okay. You know, I can't fault the effort or the will to try and win the game. But again, it was a deja vu moment where two individual mistakes have really hurt us and damaged us. So it's obviously disappointing to lose the game the way we did, but I can't be too critical of the players. You know, they've gave me a lot this season, and we have to learn and move on for next season.
Pleased to see Alfredo get started for the season then.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a great finish. It's a striker's poacher's goal, and I think his all round level this season deserves 30 goals. So very pleased for him. But I think, well, I'm hoping he's learnt a lot from the last 4 or 5 weeks. That's what we should all be talking about, Alfredo, for goals and good play and good typical number nine play, rather than talking about, you know, the discipline side of it. So I think it's good for him to go away remembering a goal rather than the last 4 weeks.
Do you expect to see him again come pre-season? Is that the thing you've got yourself up with you going this summer?
Well, he's on a 4-year contract. We've had one bid for Alfredo since I've been the Rangers manager, and it was for €3 million. So would you expect to see him, you and me?
Suggestions today that you've agreed a deal for Craig Stewart. Have you got to give us any indication of that?
Yeah, watch this space.
Alex Ray, watch this space, he says, so that I think we can read between the lines there. We'll read the space, and that suggests Greg Stewart will be a Rangers player.
Yeah, I think there's stuff down the rounds today, Gordon. It's going to be a 3-year contract and a Bosman. But it's interesting there, he was absolutely right in his assessment. The effort was there. They had a goal, mistakes from Kamara losing the ball in the first half, Barisic falling asleep laterally. And I think the key thing there as well is it's a learning curve for Morelos. This is a guy that scored 30 goals, Gordon, over the course of the season. He's probably missed about 9 or 10 matches. So, you know, if he can kind of sort out his discipline, he sat on the bench, yep, and missed games for the last 4 or 5 games. So, you know, it's a learning curve for the boy.
Thomas in Barrhead, what's on your mind?
Good evening, guys. First of all, congratulations to the job Steve Clark's done at Kilmarnock. I watched the game, and because it didn't really matter to Rangers, the result, you could be more objective. And I thought that the Kilmarnock team, and that's the word you would use, play as a team. Everybody knew their job, and the Rangers come on to them, hit them in the break. They were incisive and deserved their win, and well done in getting their third place placing. There'll be a big loss for Clark leaving Kilmarnock, but to my own team, it's about Alfredo Morelos, and following on from Gerard's comment, and actually Jim Duffy kind of made my point as well with his comments about where the goals are coming from. In the 6 games or so when Morelos was suspended, Rangers had far more fluidity in their play, and goals were coming from various players. Arfield came into his own, Ryan Kent goals as well. Today Morelos played again, and for all a good player he is, I don't think he's that good a team player in the way that Rangers play, in as much as, again, it became stagnant about creating chances, running off the ball, it's coming up to Morelos, and yeah, great cracking goal, no doubt about it, but I think we would have had more fluidity if we had just kept the same shape that we had and put him on the bench. I know Arfield wasn't playing, what a loss he is, but if we'd played Defoe and perhaps Kent in Arfield's position, I think it would have been interesting to see how the game went. And about learning his lesson, he's back, his first full game back, that was just needless. You know, you've scored a goal, you've got your 30 goals, smile and enjoy the moment. Your goal has answered the Kilmarnock fans. He didn't need that booking.
Alex Ray, the question about goals and Morelos' part in the team performance is an interesting one, because Rangers have scored more goals than Celtic this season.
Yep.
So I mean, that's a quite a cold hard fact, which suggests that Rangers don't have a problem scoring goals. But is it maybe when it comes down to
the tighter games, Gordon?
Tighter games, big moments, guys that, you know, match winners, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why they've brought Jones, Stewart, and Hasty. So they've brought these guys in, but they actually need three or four. I've spoken to someone prior to kickoff, connected to the coaching staff, saying that they need to bring in three or four quality players who are actually going to complement and go right into the team, Gordon, alongside the boys I've just mentioned there now. So they have to do that. In terms of the caller's point there, in terms of the last six games or so, I think it's something like 14 goals prior to today. It was 14 goals scored, one conceded. So there was a better fluency about the Rangers play. But you have to remember that it had been Katic has gone, Arfield, who's been instrumental, his form of late has been brilliant. But again, Steven Gerrard takes that in the chin because he says it's my responsibility. I made the changes, I've given these guys the time off and brought other players in. So, you know, he's taking that in the chin. But for me, watching this, the Rangers fans will be disappointed they didn't actually get the job done today, because it must have been difficult for them, sat behind that goal with the three stands rocking, partly central here, and they're away back up the road, last game of the season, with no points.
Gordon Dalziel, bit of end of season openness and honesty from Steven Gerrard, saying that, yeah, we've had one bid for Alfredo Morelos in my time and it was worth €3 million. So if the bids stay like that, then they won't be going anywhere.
No, they won't. They won't sell him. I find it astonishing, Gordon. This takes me back to the Celtic fans as well, with Scott Brown, when they were saying we're a better side without Scott Brown in it, we play better football. Absolute nonsense. How you can, as a manager, and I can see people say, well, we played better without Morelos. It's a guy that scored 30 goals. You're prepared to give up 30 goals. I don't think there's anybody in that Rangers team will score the same amount of goals.
You're probably right. Do they play better without him? You can still ask the question.
In the last three, four games, they've played very well, I've got to say that. But over a piece of a season, he's been a big part of what Rangers have achieved to finish second. So me personally, I think it's up to the manager to get a system that suits Morelos. And he's left out the most important one today for me. I think Arfield makes everything tick for Rangers. I really do. I think he's been brilliant in the last five, six games. If he was playing today, I think you'd have seen a different Rangers. But I thought Kamarnock were excellent.
Jim Duffy, does there become a point though where the volume, the number of goals a striker scores, sometimes a manager wants to look beyond that? And we'll use Celtic as an example. Do you remember Lee Griffiths had that unbelievable season? Then Brendan Rodgers came in, but wanted Moussa Dembele, played Moussa Dembele, and people used to say, oh, hold on a minute, Lee Griffiths got 40 goals last season. And I think at one point Brendan Rodgers was pretty blunt to say, well, I don't care. I want someone who gets my team performing the way I want them to play.
Yeah, he's looking at pressing and all these kind of things. And obviously when Celtic had a sticky spell in the middle of the season, Scott Brown went out the team and Callum McGregor went in and filled in that void. And most people said, well, that's the best Celtic have played. You know, they were more fluent and, more productive and more on the front foot. They scored a huge number of goals in that spell. But ultimately, you get different attributes. And when Scott Brown came in, there was leadership qualities that he meant. And those type of games where they won in the last minute, sometimes it's the kind of guys like that who drive them on. And Morelos can be that type of guy. He can be the guy that might just nick you one, even if he's not playing well, even if the team's not playing well. He's a prolific goal scorer. But I do agree, you know, that maybe Rangers balance, they get a little bit more from Arfield and Kent when Morelos isn't playing. I think that's sometimes you suit to certain players and styles. But, you know, listen, as Gordon Dalziel says there, you've got 30 goals guaranteed and not playing, you know, probably
week, yeah,
whatever 10 games, whatever it is, he missed out because he was obviously suspended two or three times and also was left out when the last three or four games. So it's, I think, a very, very difficult one to replace. But I think if he does move, I don't think he'll move to England. I think it'll be Europe. I think it'll be Spain or something like that if he does move. But he is as a one where if they do, they have to get the balance right. They won't find another 30 goal striker, I don't think so. But what they can do is obviously, you know, get a number of goals from different areas.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. In Barrhead, they're clearly parting at Celtic Park, but we're going to try and hear from Neil Lennon.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Still time for you to have your say. On the day, Celtic got their hands on an eighth consecutive Premiership title. Rangers lost at Kilmarnock, meaning Killy go into Europe next season and finish third, best of the rest. Steven Gerrard confirming after the game that, well, all but confirming that a move for Greg Stewart is imminent. And we're hoping to hear, Hugh, from the likes of Stevie Clark and Neil Lennon before we disappear in 10 minutes.
Well, the two men who have their future in doubt. Steve Clark would appear to have said goodbye to the Hart, the Kilmarnock supporters today. Neil Lennon is still unable to talk about his immediate future because Celtic have not declared themselves on the subject of whether he will be the manager next season or not. So they are the two men who have taken centre stage today.
Gerry's in Erskine. Hi, Gerry.
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
It's about the Neil Lennon situation. Now, I think personally that the manager's already been picked. It certainly isn't Lennon. Two guys like Lowell and Desmond, they don't let anything leak. There's no seepage from Parkhead. We never heard about the Dialer thing, and nobody guessed about Rodgers, whereas we Rangers, we got murmurings about Warburton and about Gerrard. So this guy's been picked. They couldn't make the error of waiting to see if Lennon wins a triple-treble. That's, by the way, that's grammatically more correct than treble-treble. Anyway, they're not going to wait for that length of time and then say, oh, good, that's a triple-treble. Now let's go and look for a manager. There's a whole swathe of players, as I've already said, on their way, like Garboa, De Vries, Izaguirre. Goodness knows what's going to happen to Compere, because Compere, Bitton and Kouassi, we're stuck with them because their contracts are next year, 2020. So I think as soon as the treble is won or lost, whatever, they will announce who it will be in the next week, because they cannot spend time. The guy who is picked has got no time to assess the squad, so he's probably been looking over the last 6 or 7 weeks or even 3 months, just depending on who they've actually spoken to.
Just, I'm curious, Gerry, though, you may well be right, by the way. I'm not disagreeing that the Celtic board have been very secretive about it, but if they're so successful at being secretive about it, how do you know that that secret isn't Neil Lennon?
It could be, but I think the way, as I think Big Duff mentioned there earlier on, that his body language, you know, if he just doesn't look to see, if you are continuing to manage the club that you love, his body language and his reaction would have been far different in the last 2 months. He's been told, in my opinion, he's been told, and somebody else has already been lined up because he has to assess the squad.
Gerry, do you... a huge... You are an expert in body language and the club's ability to keep things under wraps. Who do you think the new manager is?
No, as I say, I mean, if there's no seepage, I don't have an idea. It could be Bilic, it could be Moyes. It might even be Stevie Clark. If he's going to get offered a job at Celtic, then he'll just have to sort of do what he's done the last 2 years and pop down to see his family on Sunday nights, etc. But I don't know. It's we didn't know about Rodgers. Nobody had heard the Dialer, so it could well be a name that nobody's actually even thought of.
Big Duff, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, as I said, you've no idea. That's the thing about football, you know, we're always picking up the news that you know, this has happened, and, you know, you get, sometimes you think, oh, didn't see that coming. I mean, David Moyes is certainly one that's been in the kind of newspapers and the, you know, the kind of the rumour factory. So that could certainly be one. But, you know, for me, I've said before, I think it's always a difficult thing. Neil Lennon is currently the Celtic manager. Whether it's interim or not, he's currently the manager. He will be the manager for come the cup final. And I think it's after that, then obviously, you know, whatever channels have been used, they'll start to open up. But I think at the moment, you know, obviously you look at Neil Lennon and you think, well, he's not John, but maybe he's just been a little bit calmer. Maybe he's just thinking, right, I'm the Celtic manager, I'm not going to go running about like I did before. And he's just maybe just been a little bit more calmer than previously. And that's maybe a conscious effort on his part, a conscious decision by him, rather than I'm not going to get the job.
Okay, let me thank Gerry and Erskine. We're going to be really up against it, let's be honest, because Neil Lennon is delivering War and Peace, Hugh. He's still in the press room right now, he's still talking. Oh. So the chances of that finishing and all the rest of it before the end of the show. But I'll give you a bit of a flavour as to what he said. He said that Karamoko Dembele was brilliant. His football intelligence was good. It's great the fans have seen a glimpse of the future. And he confirmed Burke is a doubt with an ankle problem. Would Celtic put Karamoko Dembele in the Scottish Cup final squad?
Yes.
You think so?
Not in the starting 11, but on the subs bench. It sounds dramatic, radical, almost unbelievable that a 16-year-old could be spoken of in this way. However, he has the intelligence, the game intelligence, and I believe that he would be on the bench and would get on if Celtic absolutely needed him.
Mark Wilson, is that premature or could it happen?
It certainly could happen. I think when he came on, he showed how positive he is going forward. Everything was forward, you know, a couple of nice little passes. Neil's entirely right what he says there. His football intelligence, second to none. So I can't see why you wouldn't put him on the bench. If the game's going well, bring him on and give the boy a run out in the cup final.
You're not so sure?
No, I think the lad was terrific when he came on, just watching the pictures coming in. Neil Lennon obviously got a lot of confidence in him. It's just about timing for me. I think he's enjoyed today, and I think it may be just the fact that it's the Scottish Cup, going for a treble. If he's got a fit squad, I cannot see him. It's not about, well, if it's going well, put the lad on to showcase. It's the lad's future, it's his career. He will have a terrific career, but I don't think it's the right time.
Gordon may well be right. Alex, let me get your take on it. I'm just wondering from a numbers perspective, because it may well be that Oliver Burke doesn't make it. It doesn't look like Lee Griffiths would be part of it. Without making it any ridiculous PR stunt, I wonder if he genuinely has done enough to sneak one of the spots.
Yeah, well, listen to the comments coming out of Parkhead today. It seems he was the bright spark when he came on as a substitute, Gordon. So for me, it would actually make no odds if you actually put him in the squad, assess what your options were going forward. But I think when you look at some of the other guys, it may well be that they're ahead of him. But it's a great story because I've followed the boy since he was 13, 14 as well. I've seen him on several occasions and what a talent he is.
And Jim Duffy, you saw him up close today. Listen, we know the circumstances lended themselves well to a debut. What did you make of it?
I think it's a certainty to be in the squad. I do. I think that you look at the future and Ollie Burke's not part of Celtic's future. So therefore, I think that even if there's a slight doubt, he won't be in the squad. But for me, yeah, just looking at, as you said, you know, he's going, I know simple things in Mark and Alec and Gordon, I don't know, going long, coming short, spinning, you know, coming in off the flank on the diagonal, leaving the space for Ralston to go, all those little things, all those movements. And we know he's against a young kids as well, and Hearts, as I said, had that today. But just in terms of just looking at his quality on the ball, his movement, you know, to create space and his link-up play, he's affecting the final third. I think he'll definitely be in the squad for the cup final.
I think you make the best point, Gordon, that quite simply, he might have to be there, because if Burke's out and Christie's out and all the other injury victims that we know of,
you're going to want an attacker of sorts. And, yeah. But then again, to be fair, Mikey Johnson comes into that equation. Scott Sinclair, Johnny Hayes. So yeah, it's not a foregone.
I think Mikey Johnson did himself an immense favour today with his display and his goals. And I don't think that Oliver Burke will make the cup final squad. And I believe that Mikey Johnson and Karamoko Dembele will.
Celtic have a Scottish Cup final to prepare for, Alex. Rangers obviously don't. They've already started preparing for next season. We've heard about all the pre-contract signings. I know it's time for a rest and all that sort of stuff, but you can't really hang around, can you? I wonder if it's just straight back to business for Steven Gerrard in terms of planning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's been ongoing for months now, Gordon. The great thing about it is they have a director of football in there, Mark Allen, and guys like John Brown out scouting on a regular basis. So they will be trying to identify talent that's going to improve their squad. And I think the important thing over the last few weeks as well, from Rangers' point of view, Gordon, Steven Gerrard has stated that he already knows who he wants to take forward and he knows who he wants to cut loose. So over the course of the next couple of weeks, we may well see a few going out the door as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with Alex. I think that the manager has recognised who's going forward with him, who he can depend on next season. And as Alex says, he was talking to a member of the staff who are thinking, right, we need four good quality players in. They've already got Jordan Jones in, they've got Hasty coming in, Greg Stewart, obviously, you would imagine, is coming in after hearing the Rangers manager's interview there. So it's going to be a really exciting summer for both clubs.
It certainly is. I think we'll leave it there. Thanks to Gerry and Erskine, who was the previous caller. Thank you to Jim Duffy and Alex Ray out and about at the grounds today for the final time in the Premiership this season. Thanks to you two guys. Safe trip home.
Pleasure. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the sports writers tonight.
Good stuff. That was Alex Ray and Jim Duffy. Thank you to Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. Hugh Keevans, briefly, very briefly, sum it up for us if you can.
Cuffed and Cuffed down on the season, and you must congratulate the winners. Celtic, 8 in a row. Kilmarnock, qualification for Europe. Hamilton Accies, survival. Well done, all concerned.
The Premiership season is over. I can't believe we've got to that stage. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a brilliant campaign, but don't worry, we're not going anywhere yet, because we've a Scottish Cup final to build up to. We are back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. We'll hear from Neil Lennon for the first time since today. We'll hear from Stevie Clark as well. Make sure you join us. The UK Chart Show is up next.